Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, BuyerBarn.com. BuyerBarn.com is the world's first online platform for online sales and auctions of farm animals. That's BuyerBarn.com. Don't forget to follow Ask for Football on all social media platforms or sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe.
Welcome back, Army sports fans. I was going to prepare a witty intro to kind of kick this off this week. But at the end of the day, week one did not go our way. But you know what? We're back at Mikey Stadium with a home game against a team who just lost to a Division II team. So, you know, hope springs eternal. Thanks for tuning in this week. This is your host, Jordan, in Huntsville, Alabama, joined by Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina, James, wherever James may or may not be, and Dan in Coastal Connecticut. Gentlemen, excluding the elephant, if you will, in the room, how are we feeling? Are we still depressed? I saw someone in the Firsty Club said their wife stopped them from making toast in the bathtub. So are we doing better than that, or are we still down in the dumps?
I'm way better than that. I swam and then lifted really hard on Sunday, and after that I felt better. I got to say that the home games that go badly are easier to take than the away games that go badly, because you've got the tailgate in the parking lot afterwards with your buddies and the drive home to sort of wrap your mind around it. And by the time I'm home, I'm usually feeling better. But the night game, it's like, okay, I've been screaming at my TV. Now I'm trying to go to sleep. I guess I could drink, three shots of Jack Daniels and hope for the best, but that wasn't what I did.
Maybe you should have. Rob, how are we feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling okay. The biggest thing for me is just, you know, let's live in reality. It's one game. You know, that's the frustrating part, is everybody's, you know, ready to pull the ripcord. And I just don't think it's, you know, was it bad? Yes. Was it repairable? Yes. And I think that's the main thing, is just, you know, taking a look at it and kind of figuring it out. You know, I asked somebody that was blowing up my cell phone, texting me like, oh, what are they going to do? And my response was, well, what offense would you have chosen to run?
Exactly.
And it fell completely silent. And it's been silence for about 18 hours, because, again, everybody has something to say until they actually have to propose a solution. But that's my two cents.
Well, yeah, I don't want to totally derail us here, Rob, but like these things take time. Like, if, you know, Dan, you're an electrical engineer. If I showed up at your job, you and I switched places for the week, how do we think that would go? Most of Manhattan wouldn't have power if I had to do what you do. And I would have some very, very pissed off clients if you had to do what I do. And that's like just the reality of it. And like, it's going to take a little bit to figure it out. So, and people just, they need to be patient. You know, this is not, you know, it's almost like we think all of a sudden now that we're an SEC team and like, oh, first season with a new offense, you got to win the national championship. Like, we are Army West Point. I love us, but that's not how it works. We need a little more patience.
Yeah, it's a grind. I agree with you there.
Yeah. James, how are things going for our favorite Navy pilot?
I don't know. I'm sure we'll get more into it in the thoughts after the recap, so I don't want to dive too deep now, but like, just generally speaking, look, in your heart of hearts, do you think that Jeff Munkin installed this offense to maximize the chance of beating Louisiana Monroe in week one of 2023? Like, no. Is that the purpose of this?
No.
All right. The game sucked. Get over it. Wake up Sunday morning, go to church, spend some time with your family, move on. Like, if you want to sit there and be depressed for the next week, like, I can't help you, man. Like, it is what it is. It's a process, and it's going to take a while. If you want to get this depressed after every loss, put a therapist there, dude.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how Jeff Munkin votes, but I got to believe that. I mean, he's a capitalist. He likes to win. He knows what's going on. Like, he didn't make this change for his health. Like, he did this to win football games so he can make more money. Like, that was the business decision that he made. And if you think that he did this just to piss you off and take away the one thing that gives you joy because your kids don't speak to you anymore, like, I'm sorry, that's not why he made this decision. And you probably should go get some therapy. With that being said, Rob, why don't you tell us about our sponsor?
Yeah. So one of the things that you can do for therapy is to purchase an animal, petting goats, dogs, any kind
animal
of
therapy animals. Is very 2023. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very modern, and it's probably cheaper than the actual therapist. So our sponsor, buyerbarn.com, is sponsoring us here for Ask for Football. They've been doing it for about a year. Co-founded by my classmate, Dan Robinson, brother from another mother. He's a class of 97 guy. Dan ran a traditional farm co-op, and he realized there's got to be a better way of doing this, bringing it into the 21st century. Dan and his co-founder, Dinu, took their experience in IT management and development and created the first online farm-to-farm and auction sales platform. Buyer Barn reduces health issues through reduced animal and owner contact. They reduce animal fraud through their buyer and raider selling system. They have a fully integrated auction platform with secure payments, convenience to buy and sell at your own time, better market pricing because of a wider audience. Buyer Barn is dedicated to helping small farmers in America and are providing a special discount to military veterans who want to assist them in the small family farm revolution. For more information, go to buyerbarn.com or email them at info@buyerbarn.com. Hey, we're doing Cow of the Week again, of course. And look for those round Wednesday or Thursday, but if you have any suggestions of who you think or a nomination for Cow of the Week, just let us know, and we'll definitely entertain those. Always looking for feedback. But without further ado, I'll turn it back over to Jordan. Thanks. Hey,
real quick, I just had a vision at the beginning of that ad of like Dan after an Army loss on like
hugging an alpaca
on a home farm in coastal Connecticut, just sitting in the pig mud, just
wearing his Birkenstocks and drinking his IPA, hugging an alpaca.
I am not above that. The GoFundMe to get me two alpacas and declare my house a farm is definitely a thing I'm looking for this Firstie Club to get started any day now.
It's all about the tax write-off, right?
I of the four of us, I definitely think that I took the loss the worst, and maybe that's just because I'm 50 and old and my kids are not here to calm me down, and my dog was like not even having it. You know, you can only scream at the TV so much before the dog is like not coming back around. So yeah, I don't know, I'll own that.
Yeah, it, you know, it, Dan, I love you. We've been friends for 4 or 5 years now, but God, after these losses, you in our group chat, it bums me out. Like I just have to mute the group chat and go to bed. I can't. It's
fine. That's not unreasonable. I got a lot. I sent you guys some of the breakdowns. Anyway, let me shut up. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. But like the funny thing is Dan, like as much crap as I want to give you, like you're very tame compared to some of the other things that we get. So
I may need therapy, but I know how to fix it. It's just, it was midnight and I couldn't go to the pool. You know what I'm saying? Like I knew that I'm not unaware that 2 miles in the water will fix how I'm feeling. It's just freaking midnight.
So it sounds like what you need is a pool in your backyard, and we'll get you a couple of ducks and call it a farm.
Alpacas, man. Alpacas can swim, surely.
I mean, why not? No, but if you're listening to us and you have no clue what the hell we are talking about, Army lost at ULM 17-13. Defense looked terrific for about two quarters, halfway decent for about one, and then kind of the fourth quarter, the wheels started to fall off. Gave up a couple of long runs late and one very questionable touchdown pass that was still somehow confirmed, but there was, at a minimum, it should have been it stands, if not overturned. It's kind of the story of the last couple of years in Army football. The offense did not do very much to help the defense. The defense did have two interceptions, including a pick six, held ULM to 4 out of 15 on third down, which is fantastic. They contained ULM quarterback Jaya Wright and eventually forced him out of the game. But at the end of the day, they still gave up 207 yards rushing on 6.5 yards per carry. Most of that was from, I think it was 70, 75 yards run. And then kind of late, I know they said it was, you know, close to triple digits on the field with humidity. So they, you know, we performed better conditioning wise, I think, than ULM did. But at the end of the game, you know, you've been out on the field that long.
How many times last year did you see an Army player on the floor in the fourth quarter, like huffing and puffing, and now it's 10 degrees and we didn't see it once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, conditioning has definitely taken a big step forward. But like I said, the real problem was the offense. 5 turnovers, 4 fumbles. We lost 3 of those, 2 interceptions, a lot of wasted opportunities, 6 for 15 on third down. 4th and 1. Apparently we punted, but it was supposed to be a fake punt, but they either didn't get the play out or it wasn't the right read. We're not sure what happened, but they probably shouldn't try to convert that. Got in the red zone 4 times, scored just 2 field goals. They missed the field goal and they gave up a fumble on a strip sack. The third quarter, there was kind of hope, but it just didn't look good. Even when they were kind of, rolling after halftime, couldn't sustain drives. Special teams was a mixed bag. We had a roughing the kicker penalty, 15 yards that kind of gave ULM life. We missed a field goal, but at the same time, we blocked the field goal and we're averaging 44 yards a kick. Kickoffs looked great. It was just inconsistent, kind of bottom line. We're going to get into fact or fiction in a minute. Dan, what were your thoughts? I know you had thoughts. What were they?
Yeah. I said on Twitter, I'm going to need these guys to play better just because it's hard not to get so emotionally invested in a team when you're, a season ticket holder and you got this podcast that you do every week and you're sitting there writing about it. It's like, I can't just flush this down the toilet. I have to live with this for a couple of days. And obviously the players do too. I'm not saying that we care more than they do. I'm just like, that was hard to watch. I expected them to be explosive. I thought the offense was much further along. I thought they were going to get Bryson Daly to the edge with an RPO early and often. And instead they ran a crap ton of like midline option quarterback follow out of the shotgun. We went lucky to gain a couple of yards. Man, it just looked like the old offense, but it was less effective because they were starting deeper in the backfield. This offense was supposed to be about getting the ball to playmakers in space. Definitely didn't see that. We were just between the tackles, and they maybe used that crackback block once to spring Ajon Marshall on a jet sweep, which, by the way, was freaking awesome. But I don't know, man. They also moved the pocket once to set up a nice completion over the middle to Isaiah Alston. But mostly they got stoned, and 4 fumbles. What can you say? I mean, 4 fumbles. I hate to hate on one guy, but Ajon Marshall fumbled twice. He's like individually the story of the whole game. 2 carries for 43 yards, 1 catch for 24 yards. That is almost 25% of Army's total offensive production. They're literally not even in this game without his personal contributions, but he also had 2 fumbles. So, yeah. And I agree. Speaking personally, I got to get a better level of detachment from these games. Like, folks full on melting down. We're not blocking. We're not tackling. We're not running the football. We're not in the weight room. Like, there's literally nothing we can do, and that was I got there Sunday, but it was tough Saturday night in the moment, at least for me.
Yeah. And, we're all invested, not more so than the players, but we're all invested. So I totally get where, Dan, where you're coming from with that. It was frustrating, hearing for the last 6 months how great this offense is, how innovative it is, and then we come out and act like we've never played football before, and 5 turnovers, like that's not a new offense thing. And that's what I've been trying to do, is like in my mind separate like what's the deal with the new offense versus what is the piss poor pathetic production that we put on of 5 fumbles and acting dazed and confused. Like,
I mean, we've seen these high fumbles games before. It's not like Army's never gone out there and put a bunch of balls on the ground before. It does tend to happen early in the season, and they do tend to lose those games. So, every year this team is good for one completely unaccountable loss. And if this was it and they get it turned around, then, I can live with it, but yeesh.
Yeah. Rob, what were your thoughts?
Yeah. So I'm piling on a little bit what Dano said. It's the difference between fair weather friends and hardcore fans. Like, diehard fans, they love their team no matter what. Right. You didn't see Alabama packing it up after they lost the game last year. They were like, oh, my gosh, we lost the game. It's Alabama. They're like, OK, we'll bounce back from this. Maybe we'll make the playoff. Maybe we won't. It just depends. But that part of it is out of our hands. But we're still going to root for our team. That's the part that's the most disturbing to me. In the pros, it's all about draft picks for advantages, because that's how you get parity. The losing team, the worst team in the league, drafts the number one guy to kind of balance things out and keep everybody within like a band of excellence. And there's some teams that are good at management and players. Some teams are bad. In college, it's about recruiting. So you had, an entire recruiting class that Monken had over 4 years that was focused in on running the triple option and being able to run the fullback dive and being able to set the edge and get outside. And now you have an NCAA rule that says, hey, you can't cut outside the tackle boxes. Well, that completely changes your whole scheme. And to expect overnight success, I mean, obviously you guys have, you know, to steal a phrase from Joe, the NARPs, the non-athletic regular people, you know, don't understand that, like, these things take time. You know, like, you can't put a new quarterback in an offense and expect him to master it unless he's played in a similar thing, similar situation. The other part of it is like, hey, folks, keep in mind, we have the second winningest coach in the program's history making decisions about the offense. It's not like it's just some new guy off the street that just got hired. He's been with the program for 9 years. He understands the players. He understands what he's working with. And I guarantee you, nobody is harder on themselves right now, or nobody was harder on themselves in that locker room than Coach Munkin. I mean, he genuinely has to, you know, take it in stride as best as he can. The bottom line is, you know, back to what Dano said, just didn't execute, right? They had a plan. It didn't work out because you had five turnovers. Nobody plans to turn the ball over five times. I don't think anybody says, hey, we're going to spot these guys 27 points and then come back. Nobody does that, right? Everybody wants to win and perform as best as they can. You know, if the commentary that I heard all over social media and everything else, if the coaches and the team had that attitude, the score would have been a much greater than a 4-point loss, because they would have just packed up and given up. Hey, let's put the JVs in and let's just see what happens. And that's not what we expect our coach and our players to do. We expect them to fight until the bitter end. Yeah, it sucks, you know, but if you're a true fan of the team, you've got to take the good with the bad. And, you know, there's a lot of babies floating down the river now because a lot of folks chucked them out with the bathwater on Saturday night at the end of the game.
Yeah. I mean, Rob, I just want to highlight something you talked about, that NCAA rule change. And, like, we've talked about it on the show. James has written about it. They talked about it on the broadcast. But if you, like, somehow missed all of that, or you just don't understand, like, the NCAA has changed the rules to essentially prevent the type of offense that we used to run. Like, that is the bottom line up front. So your options are, hey, we can continue to run that same offense and get a 15-yard penalty every third play. That's not a great game plan. Or we can do something different. And I understand. We love the option. I got it. The world has changed. College football has changed. We are no longer in the Tom Osborne, you know, running it at Nebraska heyday of the triple option. Like, this is a new day, and, like, people need to understand that and be okay with that. And, like, we can still sit there and be like, oh, man, I wish we ran the true option. Great. That's fantastic. But, like, if you sit there and complain on Twitter for 3 years how Brent Davis needs to get fired and he sucks – and message us that and call us and say, oh, Brent Davis sucks. And then you're on Twitter Saturday night going, gee, I wonder if Brent Davis will come back. I miss Brent Davis. Like, like, the world has changed. We have moved on. Like, this is the reality, bottom line. Like, if you want to watch the true option or whatever you want to call it, go watch Navy, because we're not doing it anymore and we're not going back. So figure it out.
Yo, I got that letter that we need to bring Brent Davis' letter back just like 5 minutes before we came on the podcast.
Folks, it's not happening. It's, you know, Munkin made the decision to fire his offensive coordinator 15 years. Like, this was not, once again, this was not a lightly made decision. This was a business decision based on what's going on in college football. James?
So I got a few different thoughts on the game. Just in response to that, like, Navy and Air Force are still trying to make it work right now with the flex bone. Let's say one of them does and finishes the year ranked 20th in the country. Do you think college football coaches are just going to sit there and be like, oh, okay, well, we changed the rules and they figured out how to be successful still, so I guess that's that? No, they're going to change the rules again. They're going to continue to eliminate cup blocks. Like, these people aren't doing this. They're doing it under the guise of player safety, but they're doing it because they don't want to defend against this offense. And if we could figure out a way to make this offense successful, they would just continue to outlaw it. So, like, what are we talking about here? Thoughts on the game? You know, I thought the defense played had a phenomenal game. Yeah, two plays, essentially, you know, gave them their scoring opportunities. One of them, I think, should have been called back. The other one is a fourth quarter run that breaks through. If you have one run that breaks through all game, your defense was phenomenal. We gave them short field. I don't think they ever scored on a drive where they, you know, had to go more than 45, maybe 50 yards. Like, our defense was spot on. They gave up fewer points to this team than they did last year, and they starting field position to deal with on most of their drives. So great on the defense. Offense. We'll go around. How many offensive plays do you think we had in the red zone this game?
I'm going to say 8. Six. Maybe 9.
It was like 5.
Nope, we had like 17 offensive plays 17. In the red zone.
Yikes. Yeah. Wow.
17 plays. 2 of them were incomplete passes on third down, right? One of them went to the perimeter between the tackles. I don't understand. You back the quarterback up 5 yards, 4.5 yards, whatever it is, right? So you're losing 4 to 5 yards on the play to start. And the reason for that is to go to the perimeter more often. And when you're in this spot where the defense doesn't have to worry about the long ball, you're running the ball between the tackles. Why? You're giving them like either run it to the outside more or put your quarterback's hands under your center's ass. Like do one of the two. I don't understand this. Run it between the tackles and give yourself a 5-yard disadvantage to start. It makes no sense to me. So I didn't think that was particularly good. If there was a particular thing that I thought looked good on the offense, I would say that on plays where the O-line didn't get broken up quickly, we seemed to get more consistent yardage from a fullback dive or a quarterback follow through, between the tackles. So giving that play a little bit time to develop with that kind of slow mesh that they do with that extra second or so, being able to find which hole's going to break. They did have more consistent success on those plays. But when that O-line got busted up quickly, we saw problems. So, first time the O-line's doing this, there's a learning curve for sure. That's all I'll say about the offense. And then the last thing I had to say was special teams. Special teams was pretty good all night. I don't know why we called a punt block in that situation. Like, why would you ever call for a punt block? What are you going to gain? You're up 10 points. All you could do is give them a free first down. And best case scenario, you give your offensive you give your offense the ball at midfield, and they haven't been able to score given good field position all night. Like, what are you getting out of that? Like, let them kick the ball, take the ball back, and run as much time off the clock as possible. And when you punt it back to them, make them run the ball 75 yards to score. Why are we giving them a free first down there? I didn't get that play call. I don't blame the player all that much. He's a freshman who's going after a punt in his first game. Like, that's about what I would expect. I don't know why we're sending a freshman on punt block in that situation. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, they've long put their promising freshmen on special teams to give them game reps. So
that's fine. Just not in that situation.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, why was he there? This is why he was there.
I can't see any reason to put when you absolutely cannot have a roughing the kicker penalty, why are you running a punt block play? And if you are going to run a punt block play, put in people that you know, not freshmen, people that you know are not going to draw that penalty.
Yeah, that's fair. All things considered, though, the best part about a bad game is there's lots of takeaways and things to work on in practice the next week. And that's what, you have to have faith in the coaches. And the number of times that people have lanced us and said, you guys got to have faith in the coaches. You got to have faith in the coaches, the coaches, the coaches, the coaches. All right. So we're asking you to do the same thing. I truly believe that those guys are going to watch the film and then turn the page because they have to, because they sit and they dwell on this week's performance. They're never going to win another game. Oh man, remember last week when I did this? Like, no, you can't do that. Like, hell, we ask quarterbacks to forget if they throw an interception in the game. You got to get back out there and continue to play.
I think it's easier. I just speaking personally, you can have a bad game or a bad performance or whatever. If you've got another one, it's easier to say, all right, I'm just going to do better this time and move forward. We're just sitting here watching at home. So there's nothing that you can do. You're literally just sitting there on your couch, stewing in your own frustrations, which is like a negative headspace to be in. I'm not defending that. I'm just acknowledging the obvious.
Yeah, that's sure.
Yeah, let's move on from the let's kind of
Sure. Let's watch the game.
Yeah, exactly. So fact or fiction review, Dance at Army throws five or fewer passes on Saturday. That is fiction. Rob said Army will score two touchdowns from passes. That was also fiction. And then James said there'll be fewer than 15 total drives. With all turnovers, Army and ULM each had 12. So that was fiction as well. So we had 22 drives last year, 24 this year. So complete. We don't have fact agreements, fiction, whatever.
So. We failed.
Yeah.
That was total failure.
There we go.
All right, Dan. We're 35 on this.
Basically, I don't even know why we do it anymore. It just
come on, it's fun, man. James was so looking forward to dunking on me about the passing thing. Like he was all on Twitter, like this is gonna hit so hard. I'm not the only one who effed up here.
Yeah.
Hey, it happens. Yeah. It happens.
It does. It does. All right. So So as you know, you definitely should know, Craig Oxnane, the vice president of residential lending for Draper and Kramer in Chicago, is one of the sponsors of this show. Friends, he is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, one of the biggest, most successful VA lenders in the country. Craig is going to give you super competitive rates. He's going to give you the best deal he possibly can. And if you don't know this, getting a mortgage is like a super confusing and scary process, right? Interest rates are moving all over the place. Like you're trying to figure out, do I lock in or what, or who knows? You do not want to deal with some random call center, some big box bank, some mindless website, somebody who bottom line just doesn't care about you and wants to make a buck. So we are trying to help you meet the guy that you need to meet, right? That's how the West Point network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we're trying to help you meet the guy who's going to give you the best deal on a mortgage that you can get. Plus, Craig does not charge a lender's lending fees for veterans. That's a savings of like $1,300. That's a lot of money. So Craig Oxnane, vice president of residential lending at Draper and Kramer, check him out. Links on our website. It's too easy. You fill out a little questionnaire. You'll be talking to him in like, you know, a couple of hours.
Thanks, Dan. All right, let's talk about this week. Let's move forward. Let's turn the page, and let's talk about Delaware State. So Delaware State is a HBCU located in Maryland. Just kidding. They're obviously in Delaware. They went 5-6 in 2022. They hired new head coach Lee Hull in December of last year. He was the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach at Howard, which is another HBCU. Howard went 4-1 last season, sharing the MEAC title with North Carolina Central. But the Delaware State Hornets lost to Division II Bowie State this past weekend, 22-11, allowed 247 yards passing, gave up a scoop six on a fumble recovery late in the first half. Offensively, they didn't do much. They played two different quarterbacks. Marquis Adams, 8-16, 99 yards and a touchdown, 8 carries, 18 yards. And Aaron Angelos, 8-14, 35 yards, took 3 sacks, and then rushing 31 carries for a net 62 yards. That's two yards per carry on rushing. Not great. Defensively, kind of the one bright spot, held Bowie State to just 51 yards rushing on 30 attempts, which is 1.3 yards per carry, 4-14 on third downs, and they forced 7 punts. So defensively, they're pretty good. So it might be a defensive struggle this week. Special teams, Jonathan Cardoza-Chicas, 8 punts, averaging 37.8 yards each. And then Nathan Wilson made his only field goal from 31 yards out. Kickoff is at noon at Mikey Stadium on CBS Sports, and there's no lines. This is FBS, FCS. Thoughts on the game, gentlemen?
Obviously we badly underestimated, at least I personally did, the time and effort it's going to take to implement this new offense. I think that they're going to finish this season strong, but I'm getting to the point where it wouldn't surprise me if we struggle through the early half of this season and hopefully come around in the second half. And in this particular game, I expect we might see a few punts while Army tries to work out the kinks. However, if we get to halftime and they're still struggling to run the ball, I'm going to be legitimately concerned.
Rob?
Yeah, so honestly, I think, you know, this is one of those contests that hopefully that the athletes on the bench and the Army team will actually be able to kind of just erode away at Delaware State. We're at home, which is always good because, you know, Coach Munkin always seems to be able to get it done on home turf, which is always a good thing. So I think there's a lot of that. I would like to see the playbook open up a little bit more. I know James mentioned that earlier. You know, we have this ability to set the edge. You know, the guys have been running the option. So setting the edge is setting the edge. It doesn't matter if you're cut blocking or not. So I think I would like to see a little bit more of the plays outside. One of the plays that I watched in the offseason as part of the all-access coaching package that Coach Thatcher did was crack seam wheel, which is basically the RPO that they optioned the safety, and either they throw, the quarterback runs, or he rolls out of the pocket and just does a little dink. And I'm hoping to see that play a little bit more, because I think, as everybody has observed, you know, fighting between the tackles, yeah, we had some success, but I think opening up the offense a little bit more will give them more options, and it will allow the quarterback to see the field. I think Bryson Daly is athletic enough to make decisions outside of the pocket and also to make decisions after he's, you know, run the option. But again, I'm hoping to see the playbook open up a little bit more. I know it's just the second week, and you can add a couple plays every week, you know, to make things better. But I would love to see the option be a little bit more open. And the other part of it is get used to using some of the other players. I think that the pick in the fourth quarter was just eye lock. You know, the quarterback did not scan all of his options. He locked in on Isaiah Alston and went there, and, you know, they had him double covered. So they had a short zone on him and then a man over the top. And it was a bad play, but I think, you know, if we get into the rhythm of spreading the ball out a little bit more, I think that's not going to happen, because there'll be a little bit more trust with the other athletes on the field.
Yeah. James.
Yeah. I forgot to go over this earlier, and I think it's worth doing it just to talk about Delaware State, but 5 turnovers against ULM, 3 fumbles, 2 picks. So there's the fumble at the end of the game on the lateral play. I don't care about that one at all. Whatever. Okay. There's the interception where you need to score a touchdown with 2 minutes to go. Heisman candidate quarterbacks throw interceptions all the time when they're running a 2-minute drill and you're asking an Army quarterback to do it. So I can wave that one off, whatever. It doesn't bother me all that much. There's the fumble from the receiver who's running through, you know, post catch running through the defense. When was the last time you saw a wide receiver from Army catch a pass and have to weave his way through? I think it was like 5 ULM defenders. I don't think I've ever seen that before in my life. So that's new. It's got to get fixed, but it doesn't bug me that in game one that happens, right? There's the interception that Bryson Daly throws early on in the game. It wasn't great, but it wasn't, it was a bad decision. And when you are running an offense with more passing for the first time ever and your quarterback makes a bad decision, like, that it's going to happen, right? The fact that our quarterback threw one bad pick in a game where he's throwing more for the first time shouldn't shock anyone. I'd like to see it cleaned up, but it happened. Then there was the busted play where he fumbled the ball. That was the only turnover where it worried me about execution of the offense. Not about play call, not about anything like that. Like, that was the only one where it's like, no, if we were running the triple option, like the flex bone, that even on a busted play would not have been a turnover. So that one was the only one that really, really worried me going forward. So against Delaware State, I want to see that stuff cleaned up. I want them to practice those things. I want to see that cleaned up. I want to see the offense, the start, and I want to see Bryson Daly play 4 quarters. I want to see if the offensive line is doing really well and Bryson Daly can move the ball, I want to see them put the second string O-line in and see if he can still do it. And if he can still do it, I want to see them put the third string in and see if he can still do it. I want this to be a break-in game. I want to see 4 quarters of Bryson Daly, maybe a couple drives of Dwayne Coleman at the end just to get him some experience. But I want to see a lot of Bryson Daly, and I want them to make it harder and harder on him to be successful throughout the game. And I want to see him get broken in like that. I think that would be ideal. Like, if you could see Bryson at the end of the game playing the third string O-line and moving the ball, that would give me a warm and fuzzy moving forward.
I also, don't forget, Jacoby Buchanan also put the ball on the deck. It's just that one of our O-linemen recovered it. So, ball security, sure. Definitely to clean up.
That, right. For sure. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess that's two fumbles that I don't like. Army's had two fumbles in a lot of games before, and they usually don't win those games. I think of one where they actually won, and that was the Georgia Southern game where Tyler fumbled three times in the first half and, yeah. and came back and won. First game, shake it off. I'd like to see Bryson Daly show a strong – I don't want to see him get out 28-0 and then get pulled in the mid-second quarter if that's where we're at. I want to see him continue to work with less and less at his disposal.
Interesting.
All right, let's talk fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
You're up first.
Yeah, I'll go first. Fact or fiction. It takes a full quarter before Army's offense looks legit again this week. I don't know if again, but I think, you know, full quarter before Army's offense starts clicking this week. Rob, I guess we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'll say fact on that one.
Jordan?
I'll say at least a quarter fact.
James? You're my glass half full guy. Come on.
Yeah, I'd say fact. I don't know. I think I could see a couple of like long drives that get stalled out with a penalty, something like that. And the first quarter's over and you know, maybe they have 7 points, but nothing crazy. And then they really open it up in the second quarter. I could definitely see that.
We're not asking you to put money on this. It's just
bragging rights, which one of us, if any of us had hit, would be talking smack right now. That's fact agreement.
All right, Rob.
All right, so Army throws 10 times this game. I think they're going to open the offense up a little bit more, the playbook. We know that the QB ISO works, so let's try something else. So I'm going to say Army throws 10 times this game.
I'm going to say fiction, man. I think they pound the rock. I don't know. I'd call me crazy, but I really like it. It looked exactly like it always looked, only even more so, if that makes any sense. And I really think that they're going to try to get that inside running game going, but we'll see. So fiction for me.
I'm going to say fact.
I want to say fiction. They threw 12 times last week, and I think they make an effort to throw considerably less this week.
All right. Okay. I'm going to, you know, in the spirit of improvement, Army has less than 3 turnovers this week. Dan?
Oh, fact for sure. If not, yeah. Oh my God, those guys are going to get murdered in practice.
Yeah, fact.
Fact.
Rob? Oh, James says, all right, everybody says fact. Fact agreement. There we go. All right, James. There you go.
All right, this one's not so much a Delaware State one, but I think we ought to pay lip service to it because we haven't yet on a podcast. But within the end of the month, Army announces a move to join the American.
Oh,
fiction.
God, fiction.
I'm not mentally prepared. I'm going to put my phone in like a metal box so no one can contact me and disable our Twitter account if that happens. The amount of grown men who are going to threaten things is going to be very concerning.
You know what?
People are going to be all over you, Jordan. It's your fault.
Yeah. Exactly. If those grown men can guarantee a few extra $1 million a year to Army for playing football, then maybe they can stop it. Otherwise, probably shut up.
Yeah, you probably should. And the people who run triple option clinics and middle of nowhere USA should probably shut up too, but here we are.
So you heard it here first, Firsty Club, and all the other triple option supporters out there need to start a GoFundMe to prevent the Army West Point football team from jumping over to the AAC.
Yeah, if y'all want to drain your kids' college funds and take out a second mortgage to keep Army football the way it was when, you know, you were flying Pan Am, like, go for it. But, folks, Pan Am's been bankrupt since the 90s. Reagan's been dead for 30 years. And the future is now. I'm sorry.
Hey, also, but if you do want to add that second mortgage, we have the perfect person.
We got cash.
So reach out to Greg and get that cash refinance and use it
exactly
as an independent.
And, you know, since we absolutely blocked the Mikey Stadium renovation, you know, we need the money, so it's gonna happen. But
so I will say, so there were reports that the athletic director will be meeting with brass this week to pitch that movie.
James, what are you doing? James, it's a holiday, man. Come on.
They don't call it Labor Day for nothing, Jordan.
Thank you.
Rip Jordan's mentions. At Asper Football to tell Jordan exactly what you think of him.
Here we go. Fact or fiction, the Asper Football Twitter account mutes AAC and American terms within the next month.
That's a fact. And then we're in all the dipshits at Navy.
At Asper Football, tell Jordan exactly what you think of him.
Dan, y'all don't pay me enough to run the Twitter account. We need to. If we move to the American, I'm gonna need to renegotiate my rate.
By the way, I think, you know, fact or fiction is more for discussion. I like ballpark. I don't know. I think there's a 40% chance this happens.
I think it's higher than that.
I think it's higher than that too.
I think
it's probably 60-40 in favor.
They're going to have to cancel a lot of football games. So I think one of two things has to happen. Either the rest of the schools in the American are going to have to help foot the bill, or we'll see them announce a move. And Army will actually join in like 2027 or 2028, so they can play some of those football games and not have to buy them out. We don't have a
$20 million conference buyout, so I think the American could probably figure some things out if we needed to cancel some games against Delaware State or whatever. And more than likely, they would want us to keep the Power Five games we have on our schedule, because then the American, I can't make fun of the American anymore. No, Power Six, like, damn, we're gonna be the damn Power Six, like, showing up.
Power Five now. Pac-12 is gone, my friend.
Well, you can say that, and we could plug this on Roundtable. I was gonna bring this up on the Roundtable, but the one conference in college football that won all of its games this week was the Pac-12. So they are on their revenge tour. They are 13-0. All 13 of their teams won this past Saturday, if you can believe that. And I don't know if it's
the hardest matchup. USC playing the Little Sisters of the Poor?
No, actually, I think the hardest matchup was Colorado and TCU. But again, that's for Roundtable. Definitely.
Commercial for Roundtable. Go listen to Roundtable this week. And if you're listening to us live, we're recording that in about 15 minutes.
Yeah. But I think we got another commercial. I'll take this one, Jordan, since he's contemplating.
Thank you. I need Harry
on Twitter because of the AAC talk. So you like Army football, but hate social media? Who doesn't? Jordan hates it right now, and he's thinking about all the dread that's going to be happening to him. Instead, go to the askforfootball.com, hit /subscribe, and get on our mailing list. We send out one email a week with the link to all this content that we have. It's too easy. Keep up with Army sports and Ask for Football. Super simple. It's on a website. Click and subscribe, and it will have one less headache on your phone because you'll just get that one email and be able to read all the content.
You know what, Rob? If all these dipsticks want us to act like it is 1984 and, you know, things are wonderful with our offense, maybe we should just get rid of social media completely, and we'll mail out like a three-page mailer every week. That's what we should do. If y'all want to pretend like the world hasn't changed and you want to live under your rock, like, you know, when you're scared of the Russians in the Cold War, like, we'll mail you something in the mail. Like, we'll, you know, snail mail it through the slit in the door that people used to have.
We need a 1-900 number like Mean Gene Okerlund used to have for the WWE, where you'd call to get all the scoops.
We'll have a hotline that you can call. Dan can pre-record his thoughts on things when he's taking the train into the city.
If you don't want Army to join the American, press 3. If you think we need to bring Brent Davis back,
press 3 if you're worried that the Berlin Wall hasn't fallen yet.
Press 4 for evidence of a flat Earth. I mean, jeez.
I got a favorite thing. Oh man, a bigger disaster: Navy and Newberry, or Army's new offense and his Air Force coaching staff laughing its ass off. Man, let's give these guys more than a week, though, for real. Let's talk about this again next week. Like, the game sucked, we all agree, but even I'm down. even I came down. So, but with all that in mind, Craig Oxane texted me after the game and he said, I can't help but think that Brent Stavis must have had a nice stogie and a glass of bourbon last night. And, you know, I know that Astro Football was never Brent Davis's group, favorite group. Like, we learned to live with it. But Virginia Tech beat the crap out of Old Dominion 35-17 over the weekend. So here's personally wishing him the best. It's not Davis's fault that the Rules Committee outlawed cut blocking. You know, the man, whatever you think of him, love him, hate him, whatever. You know, he had a hell of a lot of success and was a good coach at Army. So we'll wish him the best while acknowledging that the future is now and we have to live, you know, where we are. Go Army, beat Delaware State.
Beat them.
Beat them. My audio. I'm sorry.
That's all right, man. That's why God invented editing. No worries.
Technology, and, you know, my audio goes out.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, guys. Thanks a lot.
Right. Cheers.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as Ask for Football brings you more Army football analysis. We'd like to thank our sponsor, FireBarn.com. FireBarn is the world's first online platform for auctions and sales of farm animals. FireBarn is dedicated to helping small farmers in America and has extended special discounts to military veterans who want to continue the growth of the small farming industry. Go to firebarn.com/military. That's FireBarn, FireBarn.com to learn more. Or to get started, email them at info@firebarn.com. Thanks again for listening to the Army Football Show. And as always, beat Navy.